All right, welcome aboard. Monday, the first day of July. I'm not making that up. Again, I'm not trying to rush you through your summer, but the first high school football game will be on August the 29th. Just saying. All right, let's start. Lots to talk about. Bobby McKillop's on the line, and so that means I have to talk golf. It's kind of the way I enticed him onto the program. The Rocket Mortgage just finished up. Killer, you called it. You said the winner would be under 20. You said they'd have great scores. So my question to you before we get into to Lashley and all of that is, how does Dustin Johnson do so poorly on a course that everybody else tore up?
And not just Dustin. I mean, a bunch of good players. Gary Woodland, the U.S. Open champion out of Pebble Beach, he struggled. You know, that golf course is about one thing. They can't really stretch it out. It's an old Donald Ross course. It's only the fence is really the smaller green complexes, and then obviously the grass, they can grow it a little thicker, make it a little thicker and rougher around the greens. But if you're driving the ball well there and you're chipping and putting well, especially with you're going to have short irons in your hands, the par fives are all reachable, you're going to score. And you could tell by the scores, obviously. You know, the Buick Open, you got to remember, you know, Tiger Woods won in 2009 the last time with the Buick at Warwick, and I think it was 65-65-65. So, I mean, it's when these guys play these shorter golf courses, golf, the world of golf, you know, hasn't really caught up to technology. The technology is crazy with how straight these balls are now and the equipment they have, these drivers, and you know, guys are carrying the ball 295, 310, 315, and then you add the 15-yard rolls. I mean, you got some guys hitting at 340, 350 out there. So, you know, these older golf courses, if they haven't been able to stretch it out, you see the Augusta trying to stretch it out every year and trying to defend their golf courses. But most of these older golf courses, they're only defenses, the greens. And obviously with the perfect weather, it was perfect weather for these guys. And the thing about that golf tournament that was so great, it hasn't been in the Detroit metropolitan area since 2009. They do have the seniors now playing at Warwick over the last couple of years. They do have the women playing just outside Ann Arbor. But for the PGA Tour to be back in Detroit and for the way that the crowd showed up, sold out this weekend, it was a huge success for the Rocket Mortgage this weekend for sure.
Yeah, good stuff. So tell me a little bit about this guy that I don't know much about. Who is Nate Lashley, and how is he shooting 25 under?
Well, if you don't know the story behind Nate Lashley, it's an incredible, incredible story. First of all, he was the third alternate. He has conditional PGA status, tour status, which means if any of the guys that have regular status want to play, they get to play before him. So And the way the tour works is you don't have to let the next week's a tournament or a tour event know that you're playing until the week before. So these guys can't, these non-conditional status guys, these guys just have this conditional status. They're basically the 125 to 150 players as far as where they fit in the rankings and how they did money-wise the year before. So they have to, they say, okay, hey, I want to play, and then the tournament director themselves, he figures out who wants to play, who doesn't want to play, and then they get put as an alternate. So he was the last player in. He was the third alternate. He was the last player in the tournament. Not only that, but in 2004, where he was playing for the University of Arizona, his girlfriend, his mom, and his dad flew out on a private plane of some kind to see him play in a regional out in Oregon. And unfortunately, on the way home, their plane crashed, and all three of them died in 2004. He almost gave up the game last year. He had a desk job. He decided that wasn't, and I can attest to that, that's no fun. He actually got back out there and played, and yesterday obviously has changed his life. So that was a humongous story for Nate Lashley. His sister and his girlfriend flew in Saturday night to see it. He had a 6-stroke lead, and that's not easy. I don't know whether many people remember. You might remember Greg Norman lost to Nick Faldo in the Masters with a 6-stroke lead. It's as a golfer, it's, you know, you kind of want to be in the game itself. You just want to keep momentum going. You want to know that you need to go out there and you need to make birdies. You want to be aggressive. It just kind of keeps you competitive. And when you get a big lead, you know, you kind of take your foot off the gas, and that's not good, especially when guys behind you have nothing to lose and they're pin seeking. So it wasn't an automatic. He played very well yesterday, shot a couple under par while guys were chasing him. A couple guys came in with 64, 65, especially on that golf course. You know, somebody can go 65, 4, 3. So it was great to watch. I caught the last hour of it, and obviously Nick Faldo and Jim Nantz were all over the story about his parents and his girlfriend and where he's come from. So it was a great story for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, because minus two yesterday was like his worst score of the 4 days, but I figured it's because he's got the big lead and he's probably playing it safe. And I was going to ask you if that's a good approach or not.
Well, I mean, again, when you're coming from behind, or when you're grouped with a bunch of guys, you just go and play. You're going to play your game. When you have a lead, you don't need to be shooting at pins. You don't need to be going for par fives. You're laying up when you wouldn't be laying up. You're hitting three woods off tees where you wouldn't be hitting three woods, where everybody's just coming after you. So it's not the most comfortable position to be in as a golfer. I'd much rather, now don't get me wrong, if somebody said to me, hey, you're going to tee it up on Sunday at Augusta in the Masters with a 6-shot lead, I'm not going to tell them, hey, I'd rather have a 1-shot lead and just go play golf. Okay, that's not realistic. However, it is unnerving. It is unnerving because you're kind of not being yourself. And when you're trying to play safe for guys that like to play aggressive, I mean, sometimes your safe shot might be 10 or 15 feet left of the pin, and now you pull it 10 or 15 feet more. Now you're off the green 45 feet away from the pin, not necessarily have a good lie. That's not an easy up and down. So things can kind of get away from you. It's huge to get off to a good start like he did yesterday. He birdied two of his first four holes. He ended up giving both those back on the front nine, shot even par, and then he made a couple birdies on the backside to get back to two under. But another story to this was the guy that finished second, Doc Redman. He's another college kid just coming out. He's 21 years old. He was playing on the Canadian Mackenzie Tour. So he qualified to get in. He Monday qualified to get in. His biggest check ever is $99,000, which he got at the Wells Fargo maybe about 2 months ago. He Monday qualified for that, as well as Monday qualified four times. That's the only way he can get into these tournaments, is the Monday qualify, meaning the week of the tournament, they have pre-qualifiers and Monday qualifiers. So the pre-qualifier will be 3 weeks before, and the Monday qualifier will be that Monday. This year it was at the Orchards. He ended up qualifying at the Orchards to get into this tournament. He finishes second, cashes a $780-something thousand check. He now has conditional. He now has regular status on the tour. He can play the tour events the rest of this year, trying to earn enough FedEx points and money to stay on the tour. Not only that, but instead of him going and playing on a Mackenzie tour in Canada next week, in 2 weeks, he gets to go to the British Open in Port Rush, so Northern Ireland. So the Rocket Mortgage, even though the big names weren't there, the storylines weren't there. Ricky Fowler, you know, finished early. Dustin Johnson makes an exit. Gary Willen makes an exit. A bunch of other really good players kind of weren't around. Kind of like when you're watching that last hour. I mean, you know, how many big names were really in it? And there wasn't really any. But still, there was a couple really good storylines down the stretch.
Yeah, and the crowds were good, so good for Detroit. Hey, switch subjects here. Did you hear about Jimmy Gosger?
I did not.
Okay, so the New York Mets, because Jimmy played for the 69 amazing Mets, did a reunion weekend, and they did a tribute for the players who have passed away, and they put Jimmy up in the tribute, even though he hasn't passed away.
Was he there?
I don't think he was there. I don't think he was there.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you know Jimmy pretty well. You could just imagine his reaction to that, couldn't you?
Oh, only Jimmy. Like, the only thing that would have been better was if he was actually sitting there and had the 25 people that don't know him around the table kind of going, hey, that kind of looks like you. No, it is me. I'm okay, everybody.
the Mets have apologized. There was another guy, too, and I can't think of the name, but they had two guys in there with the tribute to the passed away players who hadn't passed away. So Jimmy was
one of them. I'm telling you, that is so funny. Oh, that is too funny. So if you caught... Have you been following the free agency thing today at all?
I have, and Steve Yzerman is pretty busy. I mean, I'm sure the Wings are done now with their three signings, but
Who is he? I know he signed Filppula. Who else?
Okay, Filppula, 2 years, $6 million. Patrick Nemeth, 2 years, $6 million. 6'3", 219-pound, 27-year-old defenseman from Colorado.
Yeah.
And the goalie, Calvin Pickard, 2 years, $1.4 mil. He'll probably go to Grand Rapids, but it's insurance because they don't have any goaltending.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit quieter than I thought.
A lot of big names moved, though.
Oh boy! Boy, did they ever! And it's looking more and more like everybody's loading up, and it's kind of looking like there's not going to be much left for Detroit to grab. So, but yeah, I mean,
they're still maybe talking about Jake Gardner. I mean, I wouldn't be against that. I know he's not as good in his own end, but could he do any worse than what Green has done?
Well, I mean, I'd add four more guys to that list. Yes, but he's not that guy. The Tyler Myers, those are the guys you're kind of hoping for. You're kind of hoping for Strowman. Those are the guys that you're hoping for. You're not going to get the Panarins. You're not going to get the Duchesnes. You're not going to get the Pavelskis. You're not going to get these guys that are signing everywhere. Corey Perry signed for a one-year deal in Dallas. Zuccarello goes to Minnesota. Perry's now in Nashville.
You think about Spezza in Toronto? What's that all about?
Yeah, see, I don't. And that's a leadership thing. I think it's kind of a Patrick Marleau thing. I'm not saying Jason Spezza is done. I think he's a versatile player. He can work his way up the lineup. He can be a fourth line guy. He can be a first line guy. So that kind of adds some versatility. But I don't think it's going to make them any better. I don't think it's going to. Listen, Toronto is in a. This Mitch Marner thing is. I mean, I don't know how they. I don't know where they're going with this. He's going to want north of $12 million. Now, there's a couple signings. The Panarin getting his under 12 is going to give Toronto some leverage. So,
I think if I'm Marner though, I don't want anything less than what Nylander got.
Well, I'm definitely not going to do that. But now again, I wish I was the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I'm not. But just because I sign Nylander doesn't mean I can't trade him. Doesn't mean I can't get rid of him. Now who can have that cap space? I'm not getting rid of Mitch Marner. Whatever I have to do, I'm keeping Mitch Marner. He's an elite hockey player that's just coming into his own. He's going to be a more experienced pro in 4 years than he is today, and he's a really good hockey player today. So I think Austin. If we're going to have a real conversation, I think Austin Matthews is a bit of a Band-Aid. He's had some shoulder problems with some consistency over the last couple of years. He's a big body that likes to muck and grind a little bit, and anytime you're seeing guys in consecutive years have some, and you've seen this through our years together. Yeah. When I started having knee problems, they never went away. I ended up having 9 knee surgeries, 5 in my left, 4 in my right, and the last one basically ended my career. But once you start to develop that, especially with that game. It's a physical game. It's an 80-plus game schedule. You have the playoffs in there. You're playing, upwards of 100 games. Your body just can't take it. I listened to Joe Pavelski today. He was talking about, he's had his 2 weeks off, and he went through a whole bunch of stuff, injuries in the playoffs, his head and whatnot, and his body. And Joe Pavelski said it best. He says, listen, when you go through the grind of an NHL regular season, and then you go through the playoffs, and you make it deep into the playoffs, your body's just spent, and you don't really realize how spent it is until you get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days off. And then you realize, as your body starts to recover, just exactly the grind that you were on. But now he's fully recovered. He's on his lake house in Wisconsin fishing and playing golf. He's actually playing in the Tahoe Celebrity Golf Outing in 2 weeks. So he's trying to get ready for that. But, he talks about how now he's ready to get back in the gym and get ready to go, whereas, 15, 20 years ago, and the guys weren't getting ready to go until they showed up in Warren. I mean, Gordie Howe, he might have been doing some farm work, but he wasn't thinking about hockey. So, I mean, the game has changed so much, and your body is such a physical game from a speed standpoint. These guys are much fit. They're expected to be in such great shape for so long that, it's just interesting to hear these guys talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the Wings, grab a quality defenseman or two for sure. Obviously, we're not going to be in line for the big boys, but it's definitely been interesting watching everybody moving around today. And then Aho just got an offer sheet from Montreal. Now Carolina is going to have to match that. It's a pretty good offer sheet. So They made room in the cap, and anytime a team makes room in the cap by just letting a guy go, and they let Andrew Shaw go back to Chicago, anytime a team's making room like that, you knew Montreal was going to do something. So Montreal is in play for wanting to get better, and obviously it's a storied franchise, one of the biggest original six franchises. It's not having success, and I think it's the hardest place in the National Hockey League to play. From the French media is relentless, and Bergevin has to do something. So I look for Montreal to really try and push the envelope here over the next day and a half.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's going to make a difference for them this year or if it's 3 or 4 years down the road, but I think they got a steal at 15 when they got Caulfield.
He's a hockey player, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so, and I get so tired of the size thing. I thought we were past that in the NHL. Like, in the late 90s, we had that you couldn't draft a guy unless he was, 6'5", and if he couldn't play, we'll hope we can teach him kind of attitude. And I thought we'd realize that this is a speed game now, and this is a game where little guys can dominate, and I think there's plenty of little guys out there dominating the sport right now that I don't get how a guy like that can fall to 15.
Well, it's funny that you say that. We have these discussions all the time, and I think, all you have to do is take a look at the best players in the league today. They were talking about this was the anniversary of Eric Lindros going from Quebec to Philadelphia. I don't know how many years ago that was. We'll say back in 93, maybe.
Yeah, right around.
So, yeah, somewhere, but. And they were talking to Alex Tanguay on the NHL Network today about playing against him, and he played against him later on in his career. And he was asked, is there a player in the NHL today that you can say reminds you of him? And he's like, no, and there never will be. The game has changed. There'll never be another 240-pound playmaking. Ovechkin's 240. But listen, Lindros had unbelievable skill. Unbelievable skill, unbelievable hands, unbelievable shot. He was your prototypical, and if he didn't have injury problems, I mean, what a career he would have had. But, everybody needs to understand, that's all gone. USA Hockey is all about speed. Team Canada is all about speed. Everything's all about speed. And when you take a look at the Johnny Gaudreaus, and Panarin, the most sought-after free agent in the market who ended up going to the Rangers, which is, the Rangers are making a run. Holy cow. And then you got other guys. You got a Pasternak. You got Mitch Marner. You got some unbelievable players in the league. I think Keller in Arizona is a small, quick little guy. The guy in New York, the little guy that I love, the right-handed shot. Oh, what is his name? Oh, come on. Oh, I'll remember it. Blazel or whatever. So they got so many smart Barzal. Players are dominating. So many Barzal, yeah. So many small players are dominating. And the reason why they are is because they changed the rules of the game. You can't clutch and grab anymore. You can't put a stick on the guy in the neutral zone. And that just makes these guys that have these feet and are really good with their edges, dynamic with their feet, they're going to bury you. Listen, if Pavel Datsyuk played his whole entire career with the way the rules are and the way the referees protect these skilled players, his point totals would be through the roof. He was doing what he does while guys were trying to knock him out every game, and that's changed. So I don't see the argument of little guys, and I was really surprised to see him drop that far too, because he's going to be an NHL superstar.
Yeah, and I still don't get it. Columbus gave Nyquist 4 years. Why do NHL people like this guy so much?
Well, as soon as I heard that, I said, "Phew, boy, I dodged the bullet there," because part of me thought, as he was hanging out there, this would be prototypical Detroit. Wasn't sure what Stevie would have thought of him. Let's bring him back. What can it hurt? So I'm glad he didn't end up coming back here. I would never order the end of it, even though Kenny Hall is gone. But I know what you're going to say. If Kenny was here, he would have been here.
Kenny would have been. I was expecting. I was waiting for Edmonton Oilers sign Gus Nyquist. Like there, I would believe it. And they're probably not a bad fit. But if in Columbus they think Gus Nyquist is going to fill Panarin's shoes, then it's going to be a long year in Columbus.
Well, yeah, they have some shoes to fill. They lose Panarin, they lose Duchesne, and this is a team that basically you know, at the end of it, when they had Bobrovsky, they lose Bobrovsky as well. Bobrovsky goes to Florida. But at the end of, you remember when we were going through that, when these guys, you know, Panarin basically said, hey, look, I'm not going to play here next year. They didn't trade him. They didn't trade Bobrovsky. They went after it, and they made a really good run. And if they didn't run up against the hot Boston team, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, now here they are. They're kind of waffling in the wind here, trying to replace guys that, in my opinion, you're not going to replace a Panarin. You're not going to replace a Duchesne, and you're definitely not going to replace Bobrovsky. So, you know, the East is kind of blame New York. Watch out for New York. New York is trying to put themselves in a position. You know, Lundqvist has two more years left in his contract. A couple of their D have two more years left of the contract, and they're trying to load up.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, this Kako
is good.
Is the real deal. If it wasn't for, you know, Hughes, I mean, this kid goes number one. So, I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting year in the National Hockey League this coming year.
All right. And Tampa went over the top. They signed Luke Witkowski, so the Wings lose out there.
I really like him. He's a character.
I get why you keep a guy like that around, but you know how I am, Killer, and I think you're the same way too. With what they have right now, I need roster spaces. So is Filppula a bad signing? Probably not, but I'd rather have that roster space for one of the kids.
Yeah, and listen, I get it. I get it. You know, it's. But again, he's so versatile. He can play forward. He can play defense. And you know what? He's one of the last Mohicans. He's one of those that dying breed of. He's not all that sexy in anything that he does, but he comes to the rink with his lunch pail and he works as hard as he possibly can. He's a team leader type guy. Guys love him. And you know what? If you need him to go up there and cause a little trouble, he's there to do it. And there's not many guys in the league left like that anymore. So, you know, I kind of got a soft spot for him. I'm glad to see he's still in the league. I wasn't sure whether he'd still be in the league, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, you got anything else for me, Killa?
No, I'm good. I'm still going to have a chuckle about Gus. I can't wait. I got to see him somehow. How did you find this out?
There was a press release because the Mets apologized. And I think the Times-Herald actually might have a story about it, too.
So the Mets actually had to send out a statement apologizing for doing a memorial with a couple guys that are still living?
Yep.
Boy, you want to talk about a bad year. They're having a bad year. That's a bad year. That's a bad year.
I can just see him sitting there grumbling about it and...
Oh, I'm telling you, that is priceless. That's a good one. Well, I'll be using that one for years to come. That is priceless.
All right, I gotta let you go, Killer, because I'm long overdue for a break. But thanks a lot.
I'll talk to you.
All right, we'll see you. There's Bobby McKillop on the Dennis Stuckey show today to get things rolling. We'll be back.